All right, Smitty. He's on the on-deck circle. Margaret's ready to roll on Halloween Monday. Love your costume. Looks great. Very nice. Spent all weekend working on that?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Very good. I'm always in costume, it seems like.
I was going to mention that, but I thought it would be redundant.
That's right. Joe, you're always having fun on Halloween, aren't you?
Yeah. We had a nice party at Jumpin' Joey's yesterday for Jaden and all the kiddies, all the grandkids. So it was a busy Sunday.
Well, it was better than watching the Colts game.
Oh, yeah. Awful. No question about that.
Busy week.
We won't even go there.
No, not yet. We'll have to wait a little bit longer for all that. But a busy weekend as October ends. So we had state championship cross country. We had sectional football semifinals. Heck, girls, did I see a girls basketball preview in the paper today for Edgewood? Oh, my gosh. It's all coming together. Let us know what we need to get caught up on after a busy weekend.
Well, I tell you, when it's all said and done, the high school sport of boys and girls cross country well served in Monroe County this past fall. The state championship meet was held Saturday over in Terre Haute at the Laverne Gibson course. Sophomore Austin Haskett, a very memorable year, finishing 18th and medaling, the first Mustang to do that in 26 years and the third best finish ever. It won't be the last time we'll see a ribbon around his neck. WIC, sectional, county, individual titles along the way this season. Pretty awesome stuff for a young sophomore. North was just one of 11 schools to send both teams to the finals, boys and girls. Justin Helmer's girls wound up as seventh. They were sixth ranked in the state. Charlie Worthen's fellas running with only one senior, finished 21st. Looking at individuals, sophomore Grace Williams wound up 22nd. The lone senior on Justin's crew, Kendall Schultz, was 66. The Cougar fellas were ranked 23rd going into the state meet, finishing 21st. Junior Drew Warren was the top finisher in 116th position. Samantha Ginther's South girls, who were 10th ranked, wound up 17th overall in the duo of juniors Todora Galuska and Madison McMullen, both extremely sound all fall long, both making their second trips to the big stage, finished 40th and 44th, respectively. Most of the kids, as I mentioned, all underclassmen that hopefully gained experience, what it takes being at the big stage, the state, and hopefully we'll use it to next fall to get even better. Congratulations to all of our cross-country runners. Bo Moriarty's third-ranked South Football Panthers will host the sectional title game Friday night, 7 o'clock at Huff Memorial, looking to win the crown for a third consecutive year, hosting Terre Haute North, who they beat a couple of weeks ago in week 7. The purple and white jumped on rival North Friday night past, led 31-0 at half, and closed the deal 38-0. Its second straight shutout in this 9-game winning streak, and its second shutout of Bloomington North this season. Christian Paycheck, a 3-touchdown, 161-yard night, 19 touchdowns, over 1,300 yards and counting for Christian. Gavin Yeske threw for 2, both to his favorite targets, Luke Jager and Chris Bamba. South rolled up over 400 yards of total offense. Gabe Johnson's defense now with 8 consecutive quarters of scoreless ball, and it was a Blake Newcomb, a strip, and a Alec Graham recovery on the Cougars' very first possession of that game last Friday night that laid the foundation. And the Panthers' offense, they scored 5 minutes later on that Yeske to Jager aerial 6. The Panther offense played without any turnovers on an evening of domination. North closed winless for 2016. The Panthers played and held off the Patriots in Week 7, 23-21, in a game we did over at Terre Haute North. Chris Barrett's crew, 4-6, coming off at 6-0 whitewash of Terre Haute South Friday. The Panthers, by the way, beat the Patriots 35-7 in last year's title game. And AD J.R. Holmes told me Sunday the game will be played at 7 rather than 7:30, the usual start time involving the Terre Haute schools playing the local schools during the regular season. So chalk talk with Mo at 6:30 Friday night from Huff Memorial, and kickoff will be at 7. In the Zone, Dave and Glass and your phone calls tonight at 6, winding up October in the Red Zone 7 until 7:45. Prior to our coverage of Monday Night Football, the North Division leading Vikings of Minnesota. Should name a number on the Bears tonight. Vikings having a good year, 5-1. The Bears 1-6. Kickoff tonight here on the airwaves at 8:25.
And those Cub fans and Bear fans will all be happy this morning as the Cubbies.
Yeah.
At least we'll get one more chance to even the series at 3 apiece tomorrow night in Cleveland. Aroldis Chapman gets the final 8 outs. The Cubs win 3-2 over Trevor Bauer and the Indians. The Cubs have beat Bauer twice, Joe. It's just Bauer doesn't pitch every night. That's part of the Cubs' problem right now. Good pitching tends to beat good hitting, and it's been no different in this series, as you haven't seen a lot of big runs and big innings and big lead changes and anything else. It's become a specialized sport, and you saw one of the specialists close the game out last night for the Cubs. Game 6 is tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Game 7, if necessary, also 8 o'clock.
Well, at least we'll get to see another specialist with the DH back in force, with Kyle Schwarber taking more than one at-bat. You know, so
that's right, and that'll give the Cubs again hopefully a chance on all that, but good pitching, the Tribe has that, there's no doubt about it, but it's good theater and we'll be watching it. Dallas and the Eagles last night, the Cowboys win in overtime, another game that ran super late. If you didn't stay up to watch it, it was Dak Prescott to Jason Witten in overtime, 29-23. The Cowboys have now beaten the Eagles in 6 straight. The Colts, as we mentioned, not very good. They lose 30-14 to the Chiefs. We'll dissect that autopsy a little bit later this afternoon, as you mentioned, from 6 to 7:45. It's no different, Joe. You play well one week, you play bad one week. If Andrew Luck has...
Well, you know, as you said, I mean, it's a 10-7 ball game, and Luck...
makes bad decisions.
As good as he is, made a bad decision, threw it behind, made the interception on a nice catch, and... What, 3 plays later, they make it 17-7.
It is, but that shouldn't be lights out in the NFL. 10 points is not the death knell. But the point is, if Andrew Luck has to throw for 375 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions every game, well, the Colts aren't very balanced and they aren't very good. That's the problem. With no running
attack. And the wrong team got the first score in the third quarter, and the Colts had the football to start the second half. So
went nowhere, 3 and out, and got to play perfect, and that's not the recipe. For them. Hoosiers were good on Saturday, Joe. Very entertaining. I opined last Wednesday I would have been very surprised if we saw the same vanilla-ish game plan. We weren't. It was the complete opposite. That's what Kevin Wilson, his calling card is, and his offense created some mismatches on the Maryland defense. 3 backs over 100 yards. That was exciting. We'll talk more about Hoosier football coming up at 8:45.
Yep.
So that will be on tap tonight as well. How about Tanner Thompson, Joe?
All-Americans make those kind of plays, huh? Wow.
What a goal. And that's now take a look at it. We'll put that on our Facebook page for those folks on Facebook if you want to see the fantastic
undefeated
individual
at home
effort.
For the first time in 13 years.
Yeah, since Jerry's last season. Jerry Yeagley's final year with national championships in that season as well to close things out, so we'll keep an eye on that. Great job as always. We'll get caught up on Big Ten Cross Country. We'll get caught up again on the football week.
Yeah, what an effort by Jason Christ and, Catherine Receiver. Wow.
Good stuff from them, and we'll wrap up Amy Burberry's season as well. Tough ask going on the road to play the one seed in Big Ten women's soccer. Didn't work out the best way, but they got a bunch of young people coming back as well, Joe.
Yep.
All right, good stuff as always.
All righty, see you guys in a bit.
Okay.
Joe Smith, 7:45, 8:45 Monday mornings live.
Well, that's right. Scary enough.
Radio is frightening.
Just use that wonderful voice of yours.
There you go. Theater. Well, everybody knows who you are. That's your fingerprint for all of that. Busy weekend. The Memorial Stadium experience on Saturday, Joe, was nice to see points, was nice to see touchdowns, and more importantly, nice to see a victory as Kevin Wilson's crew rekindles the flame. The fans should be interested and raring to go. November is tomorrow, and the Hoosiers are back to 500.
For now, I'm going to discard that run offense soapbox that I've been standing on for 3 weeks. After the Hoosiers of Coach Kevin incorporated the Wildcat, and the Wildcat was growling at Maryland back on Saturday as the Hoosiers put up 650 yards of total offense, fourth most in school history, a season high, 414 yards rushing, and a season-best 42 points, snapping that three-game losing streak. Offensive line taking ownership, got some things done. the Hoosier Wildcat duo of Tyler Nagy and Xander Diamant, 215 yards and three touchdowns between them. Divine Redding had a six-pointer, 130 yards. The Hoosiers ran 83 plays and averaged nearly 8 yards a play Saturday and had five different guys score rushing touchdowns. Not bad. Last year now, the Hoosiers scored 52 and got beat by three when they played Rutgers, surrendering an early 19-point fourth-quarter lead. Rutgers, off its bye week, will be hosting Indiana. They're 0-5 in the league, 2-6 overall. We'll see what kind of momentum now moves forward for Indiana into Week 9 as we move east for that noon kick come Saturday. Well, plays that make you an All-American, and that certainly describes senior Tanner Thompson. That's what he's all about, and that's who he is, an All-American, as the senior scored the game winner. With just under 5 minutes left yesterday, as the Hoosiers beat number 13 Michigan State 2-1 out at Armstrong, securing the 2 seed for the upcoming Big Ten tournament. That first match will be coming up Sunday at the Igloo Pitch against 7-seeded Northwestern. IU undefeated at home, first time that's happened in 13 years, and the last time they did that, well, they brought home one of their 8 national championships. Trevor Schwartz scored the other Sunday goal as IU finished out the regular season at home 6-0-3. Well, Amy Burberry's Indiana women's soccer team fell to top-seeded Minnesota in the quarterfinals of the Big Ten tournament 3-1 Sunday, ending their season 7-9-4 after advancing to the tournament for the first time in 3 years. Michaela Brown put Indiana on the board in the 81st minute, but Indiana finished the year 4-4-3 in the league, and that was a vast improvement from last season's winless conference mark. Earlier in the weekend up in Minneapolis, Marissa Borski, the outstanding senior defender, was named third-team All-Big Ten, while freshman forward Macy Miller was voted to the All-Freshman team, and those honors voted on by the league coaches, the first for Indiana in 3 years. Well, good things happening at the cross-country championships up in Minneapolis yesterday. Ron Helmer's crew, the fellows taking third. The women finished eighth. Jason Christ led the way for Indiana. That was Indiana's best team finish since they won the conference championship 3 years ago. Jason finished third to secure his fourth consecutive All-Big Ten selection. Matt Schwartzer was fourth, and true freshman Ben Veach secured eighth, both also securing All-Big Ten honors. The women's team finishing eighth in the standings, but Catherine Receiver was outstanding, earning All-Big Ten honors, finishing runner-up yesterday, becoming the first Hoosier lady since Samantha Ginther back 3 years ago to earn first-team honors. Samantha now, of course, the head cross-country coach at Bloomington South. Indiana in the Indiana Governor's Cup race with Purdue split yesterday with the PUs, who still have a 2 to 1.5 point lead as we move through the rest of the fall and on into the winter. Well, there were big things happening at UGym on Saturday night. The volleyball team of Sherry Dunbar-Cruzan took the first set, 25-14, didn't look back, and beat their highest-ranked opponent in 3 years with that 3-1 upset over number 13 Michigan on Saturday night. Jasmine McDonald, the senior, led the Hoosiers with a career-high 15 kills on 20 attempts. The Hoosiers beating their highest-ranked opponent since they beat number 10 Michigan State 3 years ago. They go on the road to play at number 3 Minnesota on Wednesday night. Elsewhere in field hockey, over the weekend, Indiana closed out the regular season with a 3-0 loss at Syracuse, as the Hoosiers, now 8-11, will face the 2-seed Penn State in the quarterfinals of the Big Ten tournament on Thursday of this week at 12:30 out in College Park, Maryland. The winner will face either 3-seed Michigan or 6-seeded Michigan State in the semis. That tournament runs through the weekend there. And mentioning happenings on the IU sports feed, let us not forget the swimmers and divers, as the Indiana Olympians led the way as the men's swimming team swept Tennessee and Kentucky in a triple duel on Friday. The Hoosiers, top-ranked, of course, in the country, beat the 13th-ranked Vols 200-100, and the 18th-ranked Wildcats 195-105. The women Indiana ranked 12th nationally. They beat number 11 Tennessee by 4 and took down number 21 Kentucky 169-131 there. They'll be back at Councilman Billingsley on November 11th when they host Michigan State. So some good happenings in our Hoosier Sports Castle to, reshape what went on over the weekend. Elsewhere in the zone, Dave and Glass and your phone calls tonight at 6. Don't forget it's Monday. In the red zone from 7 until 7:45 ahead of our Monday night matchup, Minnesota looking to move to 6-1, taking on one-time winner, the Bears of Chicago.
Well, it's a busy weekend right there, Smitty. Good stuff as always. We won't see you tomorrow night at Yogi's for Sports Talk because the Hoosier men's basketball season starts. Can you believe it?
Those Flying Dutchmen from Michigan Hope College invading Simon Scott Assembly Hall for the 7 o'clock first exhibition game of 2 before they head over and play Kansas and Honolulu on the 11th. So
a week from Friday. Yep, you got to get your games in before you travel. And
that being mentioning that, Wednesday, the morning after, kicks off.
And you'll be back with us. That's right.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, you better get your nap in then. You're going to be busy here the next couple weeks.
I know, man. Wow.
BTN Plus, the subscription web-based streaming service for Tuesday night's game and Saturday night's game against Bellarmine. Those will be replayed eventually on the Big Ten Network. I'll pass those on to you when I figure those out. Joe,
right.
Great job as always, and we'll hear you Wednesday morning.
Sounds good.
We'll get to
Margaret,
talk
have
to
a great
you
week.
Okay.
That's right. We got a busy
week
then.
Ding, ding. Ring, ring.
Have a wonderful day, Joe.
I will. Thanks.
Joe Smith, 7:45, 8:45, Mondays, Fridays, and the morning after. Hoosier Hoops.